Omagyanatimanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Svitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, text number 56 to 57. 56 is on the board. Te tu tat gauravat sarve tyakta krida parichada bala Adushita Diya Dvandva Arama Irita Ihitai Te tu tad gunar garavatsa Te tu ta gauravat sarve Tyakta krida parichada Bala adushita diyo Dvandva rame rite hitai Te tu ta gura Te tu tad gauravat sarve Tyaktva krida parichada Bala dushita diyo Dvandva rame rite hitai Te they to indeed tad gauravat From great respect for the words of Prahlad Maharaj. Due to his being a devotee. Sarve, all of them. Tyakta, having given up. Krida parichada, toys for playing. Pala, the boys. Adushita, Diya, whose intelligence was not as polluted as that of their fathers. Dvanva, in duality. Arama, of those taking pleasure. The instructors, namely Shanda and Amarga. Irita, by the instructions. Ihitai, and actions. Next verses. Paryupasata rajan tanyasta ridayekshana tanaha karuno maitro mahabhagavato sura. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Yudhishthira, all the children were very much affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj, and because of their tender age, they were not so polluted by the instructions and actions of their teachers, who were attached to the condemned duality and bodily comfort. So what was the first idea that was said here? Bhagavan? What was the first word in the sentence? Who knows the first word? I know it too because I have the book too. What was the first idea? Who's being described here?
Yes. Which child specifically? Prahlad Maharaj, yeah. Prahlad Maharaj.
So Prahlad Maharaj, he was what? What was unique about Prahlad Maharaj? Or how did the children feel about Prahlad Maharaj?
They were very respectful to him.
Yes, that's good. They were respectful and affectionate. And who's speaking here? Who's the person who's speaking? Yes, Narada Muni speaking to who?
Yudhisthira.
They say, my dear Yudhisthira Maharaj, the children who were surrounding Prahlad Maharaj in the school, they were all very respectful and affectionate to him. Why was that?
He was learning.
Yes. Because that will come on. But what was the specific qualification of the children? Why they were, what's that?
They were young and not so polluted.
Yeah, they were a tender age. They weren't so much. What is called condemned here? What is called condemned? Some building? Were they condemning a building? Yeah, bodily comfort and materialist concepts, I think. Food instructions and actions of teachers, the instructions and actions of their teachers, and what was the problem with their teachers? They were polluted by the condemned bodily concept of life, duality and bodily comfort. So I'll read it again, maybe this time we'll hear a little bit more. Everyone listening? My dear King Yudhisthira, all the children were very much affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj. And because of their tender age, they were not so polluted by the instructions and actions of their teachers who were attached to the condemned duality and bodily comfort. So now try and picture the next sentences. So that way it's much easier to remember if you actually have a picture. So we have a picture here of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's hearing from Narada Muni. Narada Muni speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And we hear him describing how all the young boys, they were very affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj because they were of tender years and were not so much affected by their association with their teachers who were attached to the condemn duality and bodily comfort. So now we're going to hear the next thing, which we'll try and visualize. Thus the boys. So here's describing the boys. Boys is the subject surrounded. So that tells us what they did. The boys surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, giving up their playthings. So we can see the boys surrounding Prahlad Maharaj and all the toys all over the place. And sat down to hear him. So they all sat down, ready to listen to Prahlad Maharaj. Their hearts and eyes being fixed upon him, so they're actually going to pay some attention. They're just not, it's not a show. They're actually looking at Prahlad Maharaj, and they were going to pay attention. They were actually giving their hearts. Shraddha means that they had some faith in Prahlad. Sad means the heart, and Da means to give. So whatever we pay attention to, that's what we're actually attached to. That's what we become attached to. That's what we have faith in. That's what we're going to realize. That's why it's so important to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with attention, because that's the way we realize the Bhagavatam, is by paying attention to it. And if we didn't get it the first time, then we should go back and try and get it at least the second or third or fifth or tenth time. Sometime we should get it. So what was the first word in the sentence, the first sentence? Mr. Bhagavan?
My dear king.
We're getting close, yes. And which king?
King Yudhisthira.
Yes, see? You got it. And here, who's being described in the next, what I just read? Who's the subject of the surrounded? Who surrounded Prahlad Maharaj? All the children. And what did they did? What did they renounce? Their toys. Amazing, isn't it? So renounced. They renounced their toys. And how do we know that they were actually paying attention to Prahlad Maharaj? What is said here?
Their minds and their eyes are focused.
Their eyes and their hearts. Yes, their hearts. And they looked at him with great earnestness. Prahlad Maharaj, although born in a demon family, was an exalted devotee, and he desired their welfare. So Prahlad Maharaj, how much money is he going to make from his course, from his talk, his seminar? What is he charging the boys? Three elephants and two monkeys? Why was he talking to them? After all, Prahlad Maharaj was a demon. So why would he talk to these boys?
Out of love and affection.
Yes, but what is it says? That although Prahlad Maharaj was a demon, what was special about him? Born in a demon family, what was special about him? Yeah, he was a great devotee. Although born in a demon family, he was an exalted devotee. And why was he speaking to them, these instructions? Yeah, he desired their welfare. Thus he began instructing them about the futility of materialistic life. So he began to tell them pastimes of Krishna, all kinds of stories. You know, once there was a witch and she tried to... What did he tell them about, first of all? Mary had a little lamb, and sheep was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Is that what he told her? What's that? Yeah, well, we'll get to that. But obviously that's the first verse, I'm sure, in the next chapter. Yeah. He told them about the futility of materialistic life. So, Karma Muni, what was the first word in the first sentence?
Was Narada Muni speaking to King Yudhisthira?
What did he say?
He was telling how the young friends of Prahlad Maharaj gathered around him. They were of sweet, tender page and very compassionate to Prahlad Maharaj. They put up their toys. We're going to sit down with wide eyes and open hearts and pay attention to what he had to say about the futility of materialistic life.
That's pretty good. Can you add something, Maturana? I think he missed a few things there. My dear King Yudhisthira, what was the first thing that was said about Prahlad Maharaj? It says that, my dear King Yudhisthira, all the children were very much what? Respectful and?
Affectionate.
Affectionate, yeah. Compassion is for people who are subordinate to you. You can't be, Prahlad was superior, you can't be compassionate towards the superior. So my dear King Yudhisthira, the children, they're all very much respectful and affectionate to Prahlad Maharaj. And why was that?
Because they were of tender age.
Yeah, that's right. Because of their tender age, and they're not so much polluted by what?
The duality.
No. Instructions and what else? Not only instructions, but actions of who? They're teachers. Teachers. And what was the problem with their teachers? What were they polluted by?
Materialistic concept of life.
Yeah, the condemned duality and bodily comfort. And then what's the next thing that's described? So yeah, the boys, that's where you went, surrounded Prahlad Maharaj. And what did they renounce? They renounce their toys. And what do they do? What kind of posture do they take? No. What did they do after they surrounded him? Kicked him. They sat down, right? They sat down. And then they listened to what he had to say. How did they listen to what he had to say?
With wide eyes and open heart.
Not wide eyes. Yeah, their eyes were fixed on him. And their hearts were fixed. Yeah, their hearts and eyes were fixed upon him. They looked at him with great earnestness. They were actually anxious to hear from him. They didn't say, well, Prahlad Maharaj, let's see if you have anything to say. They actually really wanted to find out what he had to say. And then what's the last sentence described? What else was added to the discussion? What was unique about Prahlad Maharaj? He was born in where? What's that? Yeah, he was born in a demon family, but what was unique about Prahlad Maharaj? He was an exalted devotee. And therefore, how did he feel towards his schoolmates?
Compassion.
Yeah, he was he actually wanted to benefit them. He wanted to, he desired, here it says, he desired their welfare. And therefore, what did he start preaching to them about? Yes, futility of the materialistic way of life. So, who has the whole thing right now? Maturanath, close the book. What's the first word? Yes. Notice when we actually emphasize something, how it's much easier to remember, especially if you're going to get tested and embarrassed in the middle. If that, only out of fear we start listening a little more attentive. Hate the speaker, but I didn't come here to be insulted. I came here to get entertained. Say, my dear King Yudhisthira, and who's being described in the first sentence? No. Well, yeah, that's right. All the children But who's actually, yeah, I guess that's really who's being described. All the children, what about the children? What was very, I mean, obviously, it's not like Prahlad Maharaj, was he popular in the school? Would he have, if he ran for class president, would he have won?
Yes.
Yeah, they said they were all very respectful and affectionate towards Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Is there any reason? He gave them candy every day? He was the king's son and they didn't want to be on the chopping block. Why? What was the quality of the children? How old were they? Yeah, they were tender age, and therefore they're not so much what? Polluted. By what? Yes, who were condemned by the, attached to the condemned what? Condemned duality and, yes. So again, let's go over it again. Who can say the whole sentence? Who's confident? Bhakti Ras. So my dear King Yudhisthira Maharaj, all the children were what? What is being described here about the children? Maturana.
They were affectionate.
And what else? They all, every day they ran up and kissed Prahlad Maharaj? Or? They were whatever, not only affectionate, but they were what else? Respectful to Prahlad Maharaj. So all the children, my dear King Yudhisthira Maharaj, all the children are very much affectionate, respectful towards Prahlad Maharaj because of why? Their tender age and what else? Yeah, they were not so much polluted by what?
By the teacher's actions and words. They were affectionate by the duality of
material,
of the
teacher's perception. Right. Condemned duality. And therefore, what happened? Who can see the picture in their mind? What do the boys do? Yes.
They surrounded Prahlad Maharaj and rejected the toys.
Well, at least they put them down. Let's have a toy burning. Yeah, they all surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, giving up their toys, and what did they do? Yeah, first they sat down, and then they fixed their hearts and eyes on Prahlad Maharaj. And what else was described here? How do they do it? How do they look at him?
With great earnestness.
Yes, with great earnestness. So can everyone see what was happening now? First we can see Narada Muni speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, the king. And he's describing the boys, their affection and respect towards Prahlad Maharaj, and how they were tender age and they were not polluted by their instructions of their teachers, who are attached to condemned duality, and the Bali converts. And then the boys, they all surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, gave up their toys, sat down, and fixed their hearts and eyes upon Prahlad and looked at him with great eagerness. So now what's the next conception? What's the next thing we should see within our minds?
Prahlad Maharaj was going to instruct them about spiritual life.
Yeah, that's true. But what was important about Prahlad Maharaj as described here?
Even though he was born in the family of demons, he was exalted and devoted.
And why was he going to instruct the children?
Out of compassion.
Yeah, he desired their welfare. And then the last thing that's described here, what did Prahlad instruct them about?
Giving up bodily comforts.
What's that? Materialistic life, not just life. He didn't have a mass suicide in the classroom. After hearing Prahlad Maharaj's instructions, they all took poison Kool-Aid. No, materialistic life. So who can say the whole thing now? Who can actually see? Who can see the picture within our minds? Who's talking?
Narada Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira, how boys, young boys of a tender age.
First thing, what's the first conception? Something about the boys. What's being described about the boys?
They were sweet and innocent.
No, no, that's not what's being described. What's the important thing about the boys?
Respectful.
And what else?
Affectionate.
Yes, that's the important thing that's described here. King Yudhisthira, Sukadeva goes, Narada Muni is telling Yudhisthira Maharaj about these boys were affectionate to Prahlad Maharaj. And why were they affectionate to him? And respectful. What was the quality that they had that allowed them to appreciate Prahlad Maharaj? They were tender age, and what else? Yeah, they weren't so much polluted by what?
Their teachers.
What about their teachers?
Actions and instructions.
Yes, and what was the problem with their actions and instructions? What were they attached to?
I didn't do anything.
Bodily comfort. And what's the next thing we can see? So, first of all, I mean, to remember it, all we do is have to see King Yudhisthira. Narada Muni is talking to King Yudhisthira, and he's describing what? He's describing the boys. And he's describing what about the boys? They're affectionate and respect towards Prahlad Maharaj. And why are they respectful and affectionate towards Prahlad Maharaj? Because they were young, and they were therefore they were not so much influenced by their teachers, who were materialists, and therefore they were attached to condemned duality and bodily comforts. And what's the next thing we should see? What did they do? Yeah, they surrounded Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, they, with fixed hearts and eyes, they was exacting. With their hearts and eyes fixed upon them, they looked at him with great
respect.
Earnestness, yes, earnestness. And then something described again about Prahlad. What was described about Prahlad Maharaj? Although he was born in a demon family, who's an exalted devotee. And therefore, he greatly desired their welfare, and he began to instruct them about the futility of materialistic life. Everyone got it so far? Because otherwise, say I gave a class, and we didn't even know what I was giving a class on. We didn't even have any idea, you know, that Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and what's being described here is the affection of the boys and respect of the boys towards Prahlad Maharaj because they were of tender age. And therefore, they were not so much polluted by their teachers who were attached to the condemned duality and bodily comforts. And then the boys, they surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, gave up their toys, sat down, with hearts and eyes fixed on him, looked at him with great eagerness. So Prahlad Maharaj, he reciprocated, because although he was born in a demon family, he was an exalted devotee. Therefore, he desired their welfare. And he began to instruct him about the futility of the materialistic life. So now we can actually go on to the purport. Purport. The word bala adushita diya indicate that the children, being of tender age, were not as polluted by materialistic life as their fathers. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, taking advantage of the innocence of his class friends, began teaching them about the importance of spiritual life and the insignificance of materialistic life. Although the teachers Shanda and Amarika were instructing all the boys in the materialistic life of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, the boys were not much polluted. Therefore, with great attention, they wanted to hear from Prahlad Maharaj about Krishna consciousness. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukul plays an extremely important part in activities because right from the childhood, the boys at Gurukul are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus they become steady within the cores of their hearts, and there is very little possibility that they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they are older. So did Prabhupada think that Gurukul was very important? Did he say, give the children a good materialistic education, and when they grow up, maybe they'll choose Krishna consciousness, become a devotee? No. Who's actually the propounding this philosophy? Who's going to preach this philosophy? Prahlad Maharaj. So it was Prahlad Maharaj. He's just not up to date in modern science. He was just part of ancient history, so he didn't really understand the importance of modern education. What's the problem with, why does Prabhupada say here, children should be trained from the beginning? What will they be able? What about their heart, their consciousness? What will happen with their consciousness?
It says they'll become steady in the course.
Yes, and they won't be so affected by the, conquered by the modes of material nature. So if one is trained up to be in the modes of ignorance and passion, what will happen when they grow up?
Stay in the modes of ignorance and passion.
Yeah, generally they'll get into deeper ignorance and passion. So is that good? Is that success in life? Make money? Enjoy the senses? Here at least they were instructed in religion. Nowadays people aren't even instructed in religion. It's only making money somehow or another. Cut all the trees down. Even, you know, probably once said that organized crime means the government. So the things that ordinary people can't do, the government people work in the government, they do. But because of the government, usually they don't get caught doing it. That's what the, and even if they do get caught, their friends are all doing the same thing. Their friends are the judges and whatever else, so they're all in it together. So, here it says, Prahlad Maharaj, what did he do? He got out a graph and he gave him a pep talk. Told him it's all right, it's cool, don't worry about it. Just keep on doing what you're doing with more enthusiasm. Is that what he instructed them? You got it made, kids, don't worry about a thing, you know. Your fathers are rich and you'll get a good job, don't worry about it. Just think positive. I was listening to an Ayurvedic seminar, though. One Ayurvedic doctor was giving, and he said, never tell anything negative. You know, just think of how depressing Prahlad Maharaj, his talk must have been. You know, you're all a bunch of, your teachers are a bunch of animals, and they're teaching you animalistic science. Don't listen to them. Become a devotee. Of course, that's positive. So, futility and materialistic way of life. So, is that a little bit extreme? Prahlad Maharaj was a fanatic. Of course, officially we'll never say that Prahlad Maharaj was a fanatic, at least not in public. But was it fanaticism? Is there actually materialistic life? Is it futile? Is that an extreme statement?
No, materialistic life is positively futile.
Positively futile. Good. It's positively negative. You mean it's extremely negative when you say positively. Well, what's futile about materialistic life? After all, aren't people happy? You know, they're enjoying. They're spending billions of dollars, or they can get whatever they want here in this country. Aren't they enjoying it? You could go on the internet 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they'll rush a pizza if you want one, whatever you want. They'll rush in a motorcycle, in 5 minutes they'll be there. Isn't that enjoyment? How can they say it's futile? I'm controlling so many things. We got people sending me fruit from South America. You know, so many people have so much money in the bank. I'm enjoying. How can they say it's futile? I'm having a great time, and they're criticizing. They're envious. Prahlad Maharaj was just not up to date. Maybe he lived in some primitive society where they had to get water out of a well and had to wash their clothes by hands. But we got all these everything, all these machines. They do everything for me. I just sit down and enjoy. So how could Prahlad Maharaj say this materialistic life is futile? No one knows here. Who thinks he was wrong? Who thinks Prahlad Maharaj was right? Who's raising their hand just because the social pressure around them? No, Prahlad Maharaj, we'll find out his reasoning. We stay around for the next classes. I think, wow. I'm not going to listen to this fanatic. When we come back to the classes, then we'll find out his reasoning, why Prahlad is saying that materialistic life is futile. And we can see for ourselves whether or not we agree with it. One thing he says, Kamara acharat pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabha munusha janma tadap yadruvam artida. He suggests from the very tender age of childhood that one should begin to instruct the children about Krishna consciousness. Komara, 5 years old. Why? Because the human form of life is temporary, like the other forms, but it's very rare, and one can actually get real arthadam, real value from it, spiritual value. On the other hand, no matter how expertly we conduct our materialistic life, no matter how much satisfied we are with it, still, at the end, we have to die. So therefore, we wind up zero. And the only thing we take with us is the reaction for our activities. If they were pious, then we become elevated. And if they were impious, we become degraded. Or if there's a mixture, we come back and do the same thing again. But in any case, one may continuously elevate oneself, but ultimately one has to make a choice whether one's going to stay in the material world or just endlessly elevate themselves up to a point and then fall back again. Or endlessly fall back into the lower species and then very gradually try to elevate oneself again to get another opportunity. It's almost like the story of Sisyphus. Sisyphus had this heavy rock and he was condemned that he, with all his strength, he pushed his rock up to the top. He was in a hole with the rock. With all his strength, he pushed the rock up to the top of the hole and almost pushed the rock out, but then the rock would fall back again. And they had to start all over again. So that's quite frustrating, isn't it? You spend your whole life getting the rock up to the top, and then when you're almost ready to push it out, it falls back again. You got to start all over. You'd probably get discouraged after some time, wouldn't you? especially after doing it for a few hundred billion years, you'd start wondering, you know, what am I doing this for, if you were at all sane? But look at what we've been doing. We've been trying to become happy here in the material world since time immemorial, and who has found any permanent happiness here? Is it possible? Is it reasonable to assume that someone eventually will find permanent happiness in the material world? Amidst all the sufferings, but at least we can say that eventually I'll get permanent happiness. I'll work it all out. I'll get a perfect job, perfect family, I'll do all my exercises, take the right vitamins, I won't get sick, I'll be in the perfect neighborhood, everything will be perfect, and then I can relax and enjoy. So who's going to do that? Pretty difficult. Some people are trying though, sincerely trying, but if you're sincerely trying for something impossible, then it's pretty futile. Obviously you're going to get a few psychological problems. If you thought, I'm going to spend all my energy on something, on a project, and I'm guaranteed it's going to fail at the end, it'd be pretty frustrating. So people are surprised. There are so many frustrated people who've concluded that everything's futile, what they're doing. And what do they tell them? You got to think positive. You got to go to the proper seminars. You got to get motivated. And then they do it, and they become successful, and they're even more frustrated. And then they go to the psychiatrist or the psychoanalyst, and they tell them, think positive. Don't get discouraged, you know. And they themselves are crazy. They themselves are in the same position. So all these crazy people are trying to think positive about something that's impossible. It's impossible to accomplish. They're telling each other to get motivated, make more money, get more sense gratification, eat better, eat more, sleep better, sleep more, something. Your real problem is you're not mating enough. Just like they had a book they put out, The Strange Sex Life of the Hare Krishna Devotees. Someone put out a book about that. And in it they described how the devotees are celibate. So for them that's a very strange life. Of course, maybe not now. Maybe people can appreciate it a little bit more. Maybe less. I don't know. But their idea is that if you can increase your mating, then you'll increase your happiness. Never mind if you increase all your mind becomes vacant, your body falls apart, but you'll be happy. Think positive. Get motivated. Make more money. Enjoy your senses more. And at the end, when you die, die happy that you've accomplished so many things. You've actually enjoyed. I mean, how many people with a big smile on their face say, I'm dying, but I feel good because I did so many good things? That's so common. Anyhow, we'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
How did they teach him religion without teaching him about God?
Well, religion, dharma, according to the Vedas, they teach you how to restrict how to perform your sense enjoyment, how to perform austerity, so you get better sense enjoyment in the future. So they taught in that part of the Vedas. So the Dharma Shastras for the Kshatriyas, they are also in the Vedas. That's religion, Dharma. But religion without God is actually not religion, but because in all the Vedic mantras begins with Om, therefore indirectly they're addressing Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
In the early 70s, these buildings were purchased as a Gurukula by the entire society.
So we had hundreds of children from our whole movement come here. But unfortunately, instead of all becoming devotees, later on they all sued our movement.
Not all of them. Some. Hundreds. Well, we got, I think there was 100, and then we got a bore of the suit. We got a few hundred more to kind of like equalize it a little bit.
Could you comment, please?
Yeah, we had a few things to learn about how to bring up children in Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, we decided to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So instead of improving our way of education for children, we threw out the system. We said, well, if you don't want to be educated, we don't want to educate our children as devotees anymore. We're going to hand them over so they can be educated as demons. And if they're lucky enough in the future, maybe they'll choose to become devotees. So we handed them out to the educational system where they're expert at producing demons.
Yes. Isn't there a balance between the two? I mean, we can't expect that every child that's raised as a devotee in ISKCON is going to choose, we hope, but we can't expect they're going to choose 100% to be devotees. So we have a responsibility to raise them so that they don't just end up on the street with no ability to just even take care of themselves or take care of their family. They have
modern education doesn't train children so that they're going to be capable of being on the street and take care of themselves. By the time they get finished with modern education, basically speaking, by all the illicit sex they had and all the intoxication they took, they're a basket case. All they can do is sit in front of a computer and press a button. So it's not like if they're educated in Krishna consciousness, they're probably going to be missing very much. That even if they choose to go and get a technical education, they'll be expert at it, much better because their brains, they'll still have a brain in order to do their work with. So we find that just like the most successful people in school, modern education in America, are those from India. Why? Because they followed some principles when they were younger. Therefore, they still have a brain in order to do something with. And even the children from Gurukul, many of them who didn't break all the principles, you know, who followed the process, they became quite successful.
I went to Gurukul until I was 13. And then I went to public school after that. Yeah. So the question is, what's the balance between, is there a point where it's...
Well, if we have an economic system, like Prabhupada wanted not only Gurukul, but he wanted farm projects. He wanted a dynamic preaching movement. So if we have the economic system, then there's no problem. But if we don't have the whole complete picture, we just train up children, and we don't have any way of engaging them after they grow up in something viable, then of course it's incomplete. And we're just presenting a lot of theory, but nothing practical. Yes?
Do they, in India, I know we have Gurukuls, are they offering the Gurukul students some practical way to support themselves?
No, our Gurukuls in India are kind of modern education, plus a little Krishna consciousness. No, we don't have. I mean, there's a little attempt here and there. Especially we need farm projects. Especially we need a dynamic preaching movement. Of course, in India it's easier because people are more favorable. Therefore, if someone becomes a full-time devotee, they don't worry so much. Matter of fact, people become full-time devotees because they make more money doing it. They have a better lifestyle. But that's a different thing. But that's not a good reason to become a full-time devotee, to get a better materialistic life. So India is a different tattva. But we don't really have such a dynamic... You know, we have a lot of collection in India, big temples and a lot of collection, but we haven't really manifested real full-on gurukuls or big farm projects or real successful, you know, systematic training to really make people Krishna conscious. Yeah.
So what's the problem? Is the problem the immaturity of, or not necessarily the immaturity, the newness of ISKCON, the...
Well, we ourselves, the devotees, were not so convinced what's in these... Well, first of all, most of the devotees don't bother them even reading the books for one reason or another. What to speak of knowing what's in the... After reading it, we don't know so much about even what's in it. And if we do, we don't really have such a vision how to practically apply it. And if we do have the vision, we're not so... We're conflicted because we have so many other desires.
So is that maturity as individuals, or...?
Yeah, individuals, leadership, all kinds of factors. After all, we were brought up, we were trained quite nicely as demons from the beginning of our life. They're quite expert at making demons.
Is it necessarily a training this lifetime, or my choice, my conditioning?
That's all right. We were trained up as demons, not by accident, but because that's what we deserve to be trained up as. But then Prabhupada came, and out of his mercy, he began some kind of training to make us into devotees. So it's still available, it's just that we're just taking advantage of it according to our desire and our capacity. Therefore, we can't say it's one sense, it's amazing that there is a movement, the Hare Krishna movement. And the other sense is that we could do a lot more. But we should be too complacent that we're here and we're still on the map, and therefore, who can complain? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.